Coming up on today's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, you can always count on a plot twist when it comes to the silver and black. We were able to meet with every free agent that the Raiders came into agreement with on Thursday at the Intermountain Healthcare Performance Center, except for Jimmy Garoppolo. So we'll update that story. We'll tell you about the players we did get a chance to interact with and your calls and texts. We'll close out the show. It's coming up on a very busy Friday, March 17th, 2023. It's St. Paddy's Day. Let's get it.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Win. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Just win. Your team just every win. Day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a raider. Pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
And welcome in, Raider Nation, to another edition of the Locked On Raider Podcast. Thank you so much for making the show your first listen of the day. Make sure you subscribe or follow for free on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts. And make sure you get the latest edition of the Locked On Raiders Podcast. And if you are checking us out on YouTube, you're checking us out on YouTube. Thanks to my man, Ari. You can check him out on Twitter at Ari Produces, doing a great job. And we do appreciate him. Today's edition of the Locked On Raiders Podcast is brought to you by the all-new, all-electric 2023 Nissan Ariya. The Nissan Ariya, the EV for people who love to drive. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. And there's a lot to get to on today's show, so let's go ahead and jump right into it. Of course, the biggest story coming out of Thursday is the fact that every single free agent that the Raiders brought in from the outside signed, sealed, and delivered, except for Jimmy Garoppolo. Of course, there's got to be a plot twist, right? I mean, there's not, because Raider Nation is super fired up about Jimmy G anyway. Then all of a sudden, he's not available when he was supposed to be available. We met with all these other guys, Marcus Epps, Brandon Faison, Jacoby Myers, Robert Spillane, Philip Dorsett. They were supposed to start talking to us at 11 o'clock as they signed their paper. Then all of a sudden, the press conference was going to start, and one by one, they were going to come into the Intermountain Healthcare Performance Center, the little media center. And they did. One by one, and everything was great. Finished that up around 11:45, and then we had about a 15-minute wait where, okay, we'll be talking to Jimmy G at noon. Well, Raider Nation, noon never came, right? We were there, and I was there until about 1:30 Pacific time, and then I had to hustle home because my radio show starts at 2. So I said, well, you know what? The show's got to happen. I can't sit around and wait for Jimmy G to come out here to the media center. I'll just have to catch up with you guys later. And close to about 3 o'clock Pacific time, it actually became official that there was going to be no press conference for Jimmy G. And word from the Raiders, and it's been very minimal, but word from the Raiders is everything is all good. It's just something small and procedural. But to me, it just seems kind of suspect, right? I mean, all of a sudden, everyone is good to go, and then the one guy who is the most important guy, because he is the quarterback, and again, it's a really weird time to be a Raider fan and even covering the team, because it's been so long since the team has needed a quarterback. Now they get a guy. Again, he wasn't the first choice by, I think, anybody that follows the Raiders or a big fan of the Raiders, and all of a sudden, he's not available to meet with the media. And, of course, the jokes write themselves, as he's been often injured. So many people hit me up and said, oh, he got injured as he was signing his contract. He hurt his leg while he was walking to the media center. He did this. I mean, it was just the jokes wrote themselves. But Jimmy G was a no-show as far as meeting with us on Thursday. He was in the building. I know for a fact he was in the building, but something happened. His family was all there. What we heard from Will Kiss, who is in charge of PR with the Raiders, was everyone's upstairs. They're talking. They're taking care of business. They're just working some things out. And I say that in air quotes, but that's what he said, working on some things. And so those things never got hashed out on Thursday, and so they're hoping to have it hashed out today and that we can actually have an opportunity to meet with Jimmy G. And I heard probably the same time as it was supposed to be on Thursday around noon, but just because I heard that doesn't mean that, right? I also heard that Jimmy G is supposed to be back in the building around 8 o'clock this morning, so depending on what time you're listening to it, maybe he's already back in the building. Maybe they've already worked things out and they've already had their press conference, but really, as much as I want to just come out and report and say, this is what's going on, this is the holdup, this, I really don't know. Many people are speculating, is it a physical, is it contract? Whatever the case may be, it could be a combination of the both. I just don't want to throw anything out there and just be reckless with it, because honestly, I have no idea and nobody does. So whatever you're hearing, unless it's coming from the Raiders itself, we have no idea. But it sounds like everything's going to be worked out and be fine. And it sounds like he's going to sign his deal today. And it sounds like we're going to meet with him today. But, you know, as my late great grandmother used to always say, just because it looks good, it sounds good, it feels good, don't mean it is good, right? So we'll see when it absolutely is good. But Jimmy G so far is not signed and sealed and delivered. But Marcus Epps, Brandon Faison, Jacoby Myers, Robert Spillane, and Philip Dorsett are. And I'll talk about those guys coming up in segment number 2 and what I thought about them as we were talking to them on Thursday in the Intermountain Healthcare Performance Center. A lot of good stuff. Also on Thursday's show, I told you about Jerry Tillery, the defensive tackle. He agreed to terms with the Raiders, and I didn't know what the contract looked like, but my guy Jordan Schultz actually hit me up and said the deal for Jerry Tillery is a two-year contract for $7 million, worth up to $8 million, also includes $5.6 million guaranteed. That's according to a source, and that was my guy Jordan Schultz from The Score. He used to be part of Yahoo, used to be part of many different outlets, but he's part of The Score right now. So he let me know that a source told him that that's what the contract was. So not bad money for Jerry Tillery. That's a two-year deal. So, again, not a whole lot of coin. And, it goes with the theme of what the Raiders have done as they signed all their free agents, whether they were from the outside or the inside. They're not giving up a whole lot of money. They're just not spending a lot of bread. So that's just what it is, and that's exactly how they're going to continue to operate. Also, this is also from Jordan Schultz. He hit me up with this too. Linebacker Andrew Van Ginkle is visiting with the Raiders, and apparently he's a guy that played with the Dolphins last season, had 47 tackles, 3 tackles for losses, and 2 pass breakups. Again, a linebacker from Miami. He went to the Patriots and had a visit with him, a free agent visit, and apparently everything went really well, but he did not sign a contract. So when he left New England, he made his way to Las Vegas. So he should be in the building today. He should be meeting with the defensive unit and meet with Dave Ziegler and company. And I don't know if the Jimmy G contract and that situation and him getting signed, I don't know if that has anything to do with any proceedings with Van Ginkle, but he's on his way. Another linebacker, a guy that from everything that I understand, all the research I've done, is a guy that plays with his hair on fire, has a lot of energy and gets after it. And that's kind of the theme from a lot of these guys, right? They really work hard. They really are kind of blue collar dudes, and they just get after it. So that's what Van Ginkle sounds like. He has familiarity with Patrick Graham. Patrick Graham was working with him when he was a coach in Miami. So they know each other really well. So maybe that's a guy that they look to add to the mix, but only time will tell. But he is visiting with the Silver and Black. How about a guy from their own team? How about offensive lineman Jermaine Illuminor? He's a guy that was an unrestricted free agent. Didn't know if he was going to go outside the building, sign with another team. Well, he tweeted out on Thursday night, "Colton and I will be the best tackle duo, not only in the AFC West, but the NFL this upcoming season. I'll show y'all consistency." So that's Jermaine Illuminor, which led me to believe that he's re-signing with the Silver and Black. And then a little bit after that, a couple reports came out. A couple people on Twitter were saying that Jermaine Illuminor has, in fact, re-signed with the Raiders. So he's back in the mix. Jermaine Illuminor has always been a good guy. Lincoln Kennedy, when I did the Raider Roundtable with him and JT on Tuesday earlier this week, said that he thought his best position was a swing tackle, which basically is kind of a fill-in guy, which is what I think as well. I don't think Jermaine Illuminor is a starter. I definitely believe the Raiders need to upgrade their offensive line. I think that they know that as well. But having Jermaine Illuminor back in the mix is good. Having Brandon Parker back in the mix is good. Again, when they started getting injured in 2022, that's when you really started seeing how thin they were as far as talent goes. So I think the more that they have, the better as far as competition goes. Doesn't mean that they're going to keep everybody, but knowing that they're going to go back to camp with some guys that they are familiar with, I think that that's a good step in the right direction. So Jermaine Illuminor re-signed with the Raiders. Again, just similar to Jerry Tillery. I don't know what the details are. We'll find out probably sometime today. They'll probably put out a press release, but he is back in the mix with the Silver and Black, and he's out to prove something. He hears everything. That's the one thing about Jermaine Illuminor, and he's told us that. Yeah, I hear everything. I hear everything. I see everything. There was a part where David Carr was talking about the offensive line after Derek made his way to New Orleans and he went on that Harvester podcast. And David Carr was talking about and kind of dogged Jermaine Illuminor without dogging him. And Jermaine went out on Twitter and was like, "Oh, he wasn't necessarily talking about me. He was just talking about upgrading the offensive line." But he sees everything. He sees everything that's going on Twitter. He hears radio. He hears podcasts. He hears what people are saying about him, you know, about inconsistency, about penalties and all that. And look, he's going to go and play any role that the coaching staff asks him to do. I'm not mad at that at all. He does have to get better. He did have too many penalties, in my opinion, in 2022. He did have too many missteps in 2022. But you know he's a guy that's going to get after it. I remember in particular, after that first game of the season against the Chargers in L.A., he was very angry. We talked to him in the locker room following that game, and he was so upset because there was like 3 or 4 plays, including the one where Khalil Mack basically sealed the deal of the game, and he got beat. And he was so mad because he said, I knew that the move that he was coming with was coming, and I didn't stop him. Like, I just wasn't ahead of him. So he really, I don't want to say was beating himself up, but he took it really seriously, right? And you could tell that he really has a lot of pride in what he does. So I could appreciate a guy getting down on himself when he knew that, you know, he didn't have the best performance, but he's like, man, I know we play him again, and I'll be ready for him. And so, I mean, that's all you can really ask for from a dude, is to really take a lot of pride in what he does and continue to try to be the best he can every time he takes the field, and that's who Jermaine Illuminor is. Again, does that mean that he's going to be a bona fide starter and he's going to be some great offensive lineman? No, but I know that every time he takes the field, he's going to give you his best effort. So that's all I got for you for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast, kind of news and notes around the crazy day that was Thursday at the Intermountain Healthcare Performance Center. Really, the big news out of that was Jimmy G did not sign his contract, and Jimmy G did not meet with the media. So we're still in a waiting process when it comes to him. And as I mentioned at the top, it's always got to be a plot twist when it comes to the silver and black. Coming up in segment number two, what were the thoughts of the five guys that we talked with? What did I think about them? Well, I want to break it down because I did come away feeling differently than I did going into it on Thursday, and I'll tell you why. We'll do that up in segment number two after I tell you about Built Bar. And not only Built Bar, but the fact that Built Bar has their madness bracket, and it is back. And we know that you have a favorite Built Bar or a favorite Built Bar puff, and now is your time to make it count. Go to BuiltMarchMadness.com to vote for your favorite. So for me, I'll be voting for Cookies and Cream, the bar, and I think UCLA. UCLA in March Madness is who I have winning the whole thing. I actually had Arizona in there as well, but they took an L in the first round against Princeton, so we won't speak on that. But I still have UCLA. They're still alive for me. So that's what I'm going to kind of mix and match, Cookies and Cream and UCLA. So to win, we'll all be voting for that bar too. And if you want them to win, you need to vote for that bar as well. Support me, support them, right? Support the bar or puff that you really appreciate. And when you vote for your favorite bar or puff, you'll be entered into a drawing where 50 lucky Locked On listeners will get a free box of Built Bars. Not only that, but one Locked On fan will win a 12-month subscription to Built to have Built's best bars or puffs delivered monthly straight to your door. You got to try Built Bar. They're the best protein bar ever. They're amazing, and you won't even know that they're good for you because they taste so good. What makes Built Bars and Built Bar puffs so good? Well, for starters, they're high in protein, low in sugar. They're covered in 100% real chocolate. That's right, 100% real chocolate. So right now, go to BuiltMarchMadness.com, vote for your favorite bar or puff, and pick up a box while you're there. You can vote every day in March. Get into it. Get it on right now. Support your pick. Again, BuiltMarchMadness.com.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we go. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Want to talk about the guys we actually did get an opportunity to talk to at the Intermountain Healthcare Performance Center, Raiders HQ, on Thursday, as all the free agents from outside the building were meeting with the media. Marcus Epps, the safety from the Eagles, Robert Spillane, linebacker from the Steelers, Jacoby Myers, he came over from the wide receiver, came over from the Patriots, Philip Dorsett, wide receiver from the Texans, and then Brandon Faison, the cornerback from the Colts, but 2021, he was with the Raiders as well. So I just kind of wanted to go through those guys really quickly and talk about them and give you what my impressions were coming out of those media sessions. And look, I know this has nothing to do with the way that they're going to play, but again, I just kind of get a feel for guys, their what they say, their body language, you know, how much they want to be there. You know, you can kind of get a good feel of who a person is, especially if you don't know them or haven't talked to them before. It's just the first early impression. So I just kind of want to talk about what I thought of the guys coming out of that media session. I'll start with Marcus Epps. And to me, if I had to put one word on who he's going to be in the Raiders defense, I would say leadership. Right, he was a guy that played a ton of snaps, over 1,000 snaps for the Philadelphia Eagles. They went to the Super Bowl. They lost the Super Bowl. I get it. But that experience is priceless. Being able to go like they did throughout the course of the season to be one of the best defenses in the league and him be a major part of it and get all the way to the Super Bowl even though they lost, I just think that is really priceless. And when he was talking to us, and I know many people listened to the media sessions by way of Raiders.com. It was streaming. We also had it on Raider Nation Radio 920. Not Unnecessary Roughness, JT the Brick Show. You know, all those shows. We had them, had all those media sessions on. But He just sounded like a true leader, right? A guy that was ready to take the next step, go to another team, and knowing that the defense is not as stout as the Philadelphia Eagles, but is ready to build something. So to me, what stood out the most about Marcus Epps was not only the fact that he can play down by the line of scrimmage, he's really a short tackler, really good against the run. When Patrick Graham puts that three safety look on the field, he'll be out there in a major way. And I do think you're going to see him get a lot of burn in 2023, but really that leadership and to be able to be a guy in the locker room. And, you know, when he sees things going not the right way, he could probably try to rally those guys around because, again, he's been there, done that. And there's something to be said about been there, done that. So leadership was the one word that stood out to me the most when I was listening to what Marcus Epps, the safety from the Philadelphia Eagles, had to say. Now, the guy I came out of the media session feeling the best about was the guy that I knew the least about, which is funny because that's how it is sometimes. Sometimes you go into things, and I tell the story all the time when I was a young dude coming up in music radio and some girl, I don't know who she was, some girl named Rihanna was coming on my radio show to talk about her song, Pwn the Replay, and I was like, great, great. Some girl that's whatever is going to be a one-hit wonder is going to come on my show. I got to talk to this girl. And I totally blew off that interview. It was the worst interview I've ever done. And, well, as we all know, she's a superstar, and I probably should have tried a little harder in that interview. But that's the thing about it. You just don't know when you don't know until you take your time, listen to what people have to say, ask them questions, and then just kind of understand where they're coming from. And obviously that comes with maturity and age, but still, I mean, it's just different. You got to give people chances sometimes instead of just rushing to judgment. And when Robert Spillane was announced that he was agreeing to a deal with the Raiders, I was like, okay, great. Robert Spillane, that's going to be a good special team guy. Fine. He's going to be a backup. Fine. Whatever. I remember reaching out to Chris Carter from Locked On Steelers because he's coming from Pittsburgh. And he said, yeah, he's really good against the run. Not so good against the coverage in coverage, but he's really good against the run. So I thought, okay, again, just going to be some kind of a backup. I'll tell you what, Raider Nation, after talking to him, after listening to him, I mean, this dude, he is a football player's football player. If there was one word that would describe him, to me, it would be tough. He just seems like he brings toughness. And I think that the Raiders are going to lose Denzel Perryman. I do believe he's going to end up signing with the Houston Texans. He's actually, he was in Houston on Thursday, and I believe he's in Houston today as well. They're very interested in bringing him in, putting him part of that D'Amico Ryans defense. And I think Robert Spillane is going to be a guy that's going to have an opportunity to fill that void left over by Denzel Perryman. When he was talking to us, he said his opportunity is to come in and be the green dot. That's the quarterback of the defense. And look, he's never been a full-time starter. He did get a lot of burn with Pittsburgh the last, you know, handful of games. Had his couple best games against the Raiders. Even going back to last year, Christmas Eve game, he had 12 tackles and just really a physical force. But what's really been making its way around the internet, and I even asked him a question about it on Thursday, was a hit that he had around the goal line on Derrick Henry and how he just, I mean, he thumped him. And I just asked him about it because, well, it's Derrick Henry and he's a big monster. So he went into a pretty good detail about what it's like tackling him, how big he really is as opposed to how he's listed. But if you haven't seen it right now, go check out Robert Spillane hit Derrick Henry or stops Derrick Henry or something. You'll pop up pretty quick. The little YouTube video, like I said, is floating around Twitter, floating around the internet ever since he agreed to a deal with the Silver and Black. But I'm telling you, we talked to him for about 10 minutes and he just sounded the part of an absolute football player. Now he's got to go out there and prove it. You know, it's an expanded role that he's trying to get. So that takes something. But as far as just, you know, he's talking about he hates coming off the field. He's like, man, you know, me coming up in Chicago where he was born, he always was playing, you know, offense, defense, and special teams. Like, we never came off the field. So he just kind of got, like I said, that football player mentality and is going to provide some toughness, I believe, to the Raiders defense. He was the guy I came out of the press conference feeling the best about and most excited about, even though it's going to be, you know, obviously a big road for him to go and become that full-time starter and be that green dot, be the quarterback of the defense. But he's got that opportunity and he's got a good attitude about it. And it's just certain guys, man. I mean, it just seems like he's one of those dudes that might not care about anything else in life but football. And I'm okay with that. I am absolutely okay with that. So Robert Spillane, I came away, the one word I would say about him would be tough. How about Jacoby Myers, wide receiver from the Patriots? One word, skilled. He is an absolute skill player for the Silver and Black. And we all don't know and have any idea what's going to go on with Hunter Renfrow. He has a lot of money that's guaranteed today. I'm assuming that he's going to be part of the Raiders moving forward. But, you know, one won't know until we know. But, man, this guy, he has an opportunity to really be a big-time player. Had over 800 yards receiving a year ago. And he's a guy who's a big fan of Josh McDaniels. And one of the things that stood out to me that he said about Coach McDaniels was he helped him become the player he is. Right, he came out of school, he was an undrafted free agent, and he just walked onto a team, you know, signed, and acted like he knew everything. And he said Coach McDaniels pushed him and pushed him hard. And at times he didn't appreciate it, but he appreciates him as a coach because he helped him get to where he is today. And look, this is not a matter of being drafted. This is a matter of signing a free agent deal. Jacoby Myers chose to sign with the Raiders. So, you know, there's all those reports about, oh, Coach McDaniels doesn't know how to talk to players. He doesn't know how to lead players. Nobody likes him. Jacoby Myers chose to play for him because of what he was able to do with him when he was in New England. And he had a couple really big seasons with Coach McDaniels as the offensive coordinator. Now, that doesn't mean that Coach McDaniels is going to be a fantastic head coach, but it does mean that there's players out there that are fans of him. And Jacoby Myers is one of them. Him, Devontae Adams being able to play across from him, the run game with Josh Jacobs. I mean, everything works out offensively. I think Jacoby Myers is going to be a big-time player. He knows how to get open. He's not the fastest dude, but he has good hands, really good hands, and he knows how to get open. He knows how to sit down in the zone. He knows where he's supposed to be on the routes. He's talked about Coach McDaniels' offense. It's got to be attention to detail, and oh, by the way, more attention to detail. So I got pretty fired up listening to what Jacoby Myers had to say, and clearly he was excited to be a member of the Silver and Black. How about wide receiver Philip Dorsett coming over from the Houston Texans? Actually only had one touchdown in 2022, and it happened to be against the Raiders at Allegiant Stadium. But he's also someone that's very familiar with not only Coach McDaniels, but Jimmy G, and only played with Jimmy G 1 year. And he said, man, he left an impression on me. And he called him a winner. And he said, man, he's a good dude, right? And so he was pretty fired up to have the opportunity to play with Jimmy G again, and that really stood out to me. Of course, the one word I'd associate with Philip Dorsett is just speed, because he's just that fast. And it was funny, Hondo Carpenter actually asked him, you know, hey, there's been reports that you run a 4.33, there's been reports that you run a 4.29, and he's like, man, I don't really know what I run, it's been a long time. And Tashawn Reed jumped in and said, well, you still running a 4.2? And he's like, oh yeah, I'm definitely still 4.2. So he's still fast, right? Even though he's been in the league for quite a while, he's still a fast dude. You can't teach speed. He's excited to bring that speed element to the Raiders offense, and that's something that they're missing. Now, does that mean that they're not going to go out and get another wide receiver with speed? No, not at all. But they have ensured themselves that they got at least one right now in Philip Dorsett. So one word, speed. And again, another guy that's excited to not only play with the Raiders, but excited to play with Jimmy G. And I think that that goes a long way. And finally, Brandon Faison. And I left him for last because, well, he's played with the Raiders before. He played with the Raiders in 2021, came in around midseason, and he was okay, right? Pretty physical at the line of scrimmage, came up with an interception or two. He wasn't bad, but he came in midseason. So the thing about him is he was excited to return. He remembers his time being there. He said he's always kept in touch with the guys who are still on the team. Anytime he saw them make plays, like a Max Crosby, like an Amik Robertson, you know, other guys that he played with while he was with the Raiders, he said he still, you know, would reach out to him and congratulate them and say, hey, I see what you're doing, man. Keep up the good work. But he's excited more about having the opportunity to be in training camp with the Raiders, because he wasn't in training camp with the Raiders before. Again, he came in midseason and just kind of got thrown into the wolves. So he's like, man, this is the first time that I'll be able to be in camp with the Raiders. And he's like, that's going to help me go a long way. I honestly believe that Brandon Faison is going to be a guy that probably just is depth at best at the corner position. I don't expect him to be a starter, but the fact that he's excited to go to training camp means that he's got an opportunity to compete, right? And that's all you can ask for. When you want to put a team together, what do you want? You want a bunch of dudes out there competing against each other because they all feel like they have an opportunity to start. Brandon Faison is going to go into training camp feeling like he has a chance to start. That means he's going to put everything he's got out there on the field. And that, to me, is a good thing. I don't care if he ends up starting or not. I'm just excited that he's going to go in there and compete and feels like he has that opportunity to be that guy. So he's fired up about being, back with the Silver and Black and having an opportunity to go to training camp, something he didn't do before. So the one word I'd associate with him, just be underrated. And I mean underrated signing, right? Because, again, we just look at him as, well, we kind of know who he is. But I think this time around, it's going to look a little bit different only because he's not going to get thrown into the wolves midseason just because, well, guys are injured, so we need a body out there, right? Instead, he's going to have an opportunity to pick up the scheme, understand what the coaches want, go through some extensive training, go through the training camp with the guys that are going to be on the team, and just kind of go through everything and have an opportunity to earn his spot on the roster. So Marcus Epps, leadership. Robert Spillane, tough. Jacoby Myers, skilled. Philip Dorsett, speed. Brandon Faison, underrated. Jimmy G, no show. No show, and we'll find out something about him today at some point, and maybe we already have, depending on what time you're listening to us. Coming up in segment number three, your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast. Voicemail line 707-654-4693. That's coming up after I tell you about FanDuel, and it's getting down to the home stretch when it comes to the NBA season, so right now is the perfect time to download FanDuel. It's America's number one sports book. New customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet does not win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to points scored, threes that are hit in the game. It's all good. FanDuel even lets you combine your bets at a chance for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. Don't miss a chance to get your no sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/locked on. That's FanDuel.com/locked on to learn about more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. Segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast. Voicemail line 707-654-4693. Let's start things off with Nate from Cali. He's actually calling to talk about linebacker Robert Spillane, a guy who's coming over from the Steelers, a guy that I came away from very impressed from the media session on Thursday. Again, Nate in Cali, but he's a Steelers fan. So remember, he's talking about Spillane, who came over from Pittsburgh, and he's a Steeler fan. Here he is, Nate from Cali.
Hey, Q, big Nate Steeler fan from California, man. Just want to congratulate y'all on getting Robert Spillane. I'm pissed off. I'm pissed because my division has, Joe Mixon with the Bengals and Nick Chubb and the Ravens are known for running the ball. And this linebacker you guys got, man, is a run stopper. He's a great run stopper. Now, and the pass coverage, no. He's sloppy, very sloppy, but he's a run stopper, man. If you want to, if Raider fans wanted to look at one of his biggest hits of his career, go back to, do a look on YouTube when Robert Spillane, stopped Derrick Henry in his tracks on the one. It was like a head on train collision, and you can hear it. You can hear it on the live feed, but, yeah, man, just stopped me right on the one, man, and I was like his biggest hit of his career. But yeah, he's a run stopper. He don't mind getting dirty. Like I said, as a Steelers fan, I'm pissed because I wanted to bring him back. He's not expensive, but he's a hard worker. So congratulations on your new linebacker, and that's all I got to say. Peace.
Thank you, my man. I appreciate the call. Thanks for the background on Spillane, right? I didn't know a whole lot about him until I got an opportunity to talk to him. And he was the guy I came away most impressed with out of the five guys that we had an opportunity to talk to. So thanks so much. And just to know that a Steeler fan is upset that he's no longer with Pittsburgh, that goes a long way as well. Nate, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you. Up next, got a text from Robbie in Lancaster. He says, hey, Q, it's Robbie from Lancaster. We as fans always are going to have opinions on things good or bad, but it seems no matter what happens, it's always bad. Seems like sometimes it feels like our great fan base acts like divas. I'm tired of losing as well, tired of season the season start and season end the same. I welcome the change. Seems most people forget when you start a job, you tend to look out for your friends and family and bring in or try to bring in the people to hook them up. And that seems like, well, that's what's going on here. It's not Patriots West. It's bring in your friends and try to build. Unfortunately, last 20 something years, the Raiders way hasn't been working. So a complete revamp seems to be the way. And that's what we're seeing. So many folks are getting caught up in their feelings because it's not the Raider way. I do like the build for the draft and sprinkling free agents to help as well. So I hope we see that progress soon. Raider Nation for life. That's Robbie in Lancaster. And I mean, that's exactly it. Right. Whenever there's new management, and I said this on the radio the other day, whenever there's new management, you always see them want to bring in their own guys. And that's not only just in football. That's not just in sports. That's in life. Right. I mean, people, whoever goes in anywhere and runs a company or is in charge of a bunch of people, they want people that think like them, that operate like them, that are basically, you know, another version of themselves, instead of having to try to convince someone to, well, I want you to do it like this. And then they tell you, oh, well, I've always done it like this. Well, that's not how we do it. That's not how I do it. So that's what they do. That's everyday walk of life. Right. That's not just football. It's not just sports. That's in everything. Management always wants people that are going to be similar to them and think similar to them. It doesn't matter what position you're in. That's what's going on right now. It's not exclusive to the Raiders. Teams all across the league, whenever you see new coaches, that's what they do. They bring in their people. You know, the reason that people are mad because the Raiders are doing it now is because the coaching staff and the front office are coming over from New England. So they're seeing a lot of Patriots. That's the only reason that everyone's so up in arms about it. And it's like, this is the first time they've ever seen that. Gruden brought in his own guys. Del Rio brought in his own guys. Hugh Jackson brought in his own guys. I mean, the list goes. Dennis Allen brought in his own guys, right? I mean, the list goes on and on and on. I think the only guy who didn't bring in his own guys was Tom Cable. Remember when Al Davis hired Hugh Jackson and said, this is going to be your offensive coordinator, right? I mean, so there's not, that's just what it is. Guys bring in their own guys across all sports, across life. So, you know, I like the approach as well, building the draft, sprinkling some free agents. You can't build a team through free agency. It's guaranteed that it doesn't work, right? It might work for a quick second, but it's not going to be sustainable. So you have to be able to hit in the draft, something the Raiders haven't done in a very long time, something I'm interested to see if they do this year, right? Because we haven't seen it. So, I mean, there's a lot of pressure, I think, on Dave Ziegler and company to get it right. Because if they don't get it right, then all of a sudden you're looking up saying, well, what in the hell happened, right? So, I mean, just like Gruden, he traded Khalil Mack, he traded Amari Cooper, got all those picks, made all those draft picks, and what happened? Didn't get anything for it. So if you're going to go draft and that's how you're going to build your team, which is a great way to think, you got to get it right. If you don't get it right, then everyone's going to say, well, what in the world happened? So that's something that we hopefully aren't talking about later on. Like, man, that was a bunch of swings and misses. So thank you so much for that text. I do appreciate you. Next up, got another Nate. This one's a Nate in the 626. He's calling to talk about the fan base being so angry at head coach Josh McDaniels and GM Dave Ziegler. Here he is, Nate in the 626.
Hey, Q. What's good? Nate from the 626. I just wanted to chime in about all the hate that I've been hearing or that I've been seeing against Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler. I feel like you should just give the dude a chance. You know, I don't know. Like, even from your own fan base, I just feel like everybody just the hate. Like, oh, fire him. You know, he's not making the best moves, but in all reality, you know, if you're a Raider fan, you got to support him. You know, no matter, I mean, it might not be the prettiest thing, but, you know, good things happen when you have good, support. But when you're just hearing all the negativity, you know, everything, you know, I'm sure he's human. I'm sure he feels it. I don't know. I just, like, as opposing teams, yeah, I could understand some hate, but not from your own fan base. I don't know. It sounds like a bad call, but I don't know. I just felt, you know, we got to support this dude. Yeah. Well, talk to you later.
Thank you so much for the call, Nate. I do appreciate you. You bring up a great point. Raider Nation needs to give these guys a chance, right? But there's a lot of reasons that they won't. I mentioned it already. First and foremost, they came from New England, right? Second, they haven't won yet. They went 6-11. Third, they moved on from Derek Carr, the quarterback that sustained the quarterback position, the only quarterback that a lot of fans know because he's been with the Raiders for so long and don't want to go back to seeing that quarterback carousel like, you know, we saw years on top of years on top of years. You know, also, they haven't made any moves that gets everyone excited. As far as free agency goes, as far as bringing guys in outside of Devontae Adams, they haven't really made any moves that gets everyone fired up. So, you know, 2021, when the Raiders went to the playoffs, that gave everybody hope, made everyone feel like the team was a playoff team and they were close to being a consistent playoff team, only to go 6-11 the next year. And then in 2016, they went to the playoffs only to have a bad year the next year, right? So it's been too many times where, okay, they go to the playoffs and then all of a sudden they get everyone's hopes up and then they fall off. Well, that's what happened in 2021 as well. They went to the playoffs, got everyone's hopes up, and then they fell off again. And of course, with the coaching change and everything, that just put more fuel to the fire. So I get it. I also understand why, like you said, you just got to give the coaching staff a chance, but I understand why folks are upset. So thank you so much for that call. I appreciate you. Next up, got a text from Day-Day in San Antonio. It says, hey, Q, Day-Day from San Antonio. How are we feeling on defensive tackle Jalen Carter? Good chance he'll be there at number 7 due to his situation, his bad pro day, being overweight and gassed, and unable to finish drills. Would you take the chance on him or pass on him? And seeing what we need at tight end, would you target Georgia's tight end, Darnell Washington, or where do you see the Raiders drafting a tight end? any of you got your eye on. And sorry, last thing, what if we just take a shot in the dark and take Stetson Bennett in the later rounds? I know it's not a sexy pick, but he's a winner. Could you see this being a good project quarterback for us? Thanks for all that you do. That's Day Day in San Antonio. Thanks for the text, man. Great stuff. Jalen Carter is very tempting, right? Jalen Carter is very tempting because he very easily could have been the number one overall pick. He's not going to be that guy now, especially since Chicago traded with Carolina. You know it's going to be a quarterback. I don't know what to think about Jalen Carter, right? I mean, I already knew about the situation. I knew I was at the combine when he had to leave. That's one thing. But then you would think he would show up to his pro day and really show out and say, hey, look, I'm focusing on football. But then again, as a young dude, how difficult is it for him to focus in on football when he's got all this other stuff going on off the field? You know, then there's reports that he took plays off when he was at Georgia, but he had so much talent around him, it didn't really matter. So I don't know if he's a good fit with the Raiders. And then on top of that, his off-the-field stuff when it came to racing, and I know every situation is different. It's not exactly 100% the same as the Henry Ruggs situation. But I feel like for the Raiders, and I said this the day at the Combine when he, you know, when the arrest warrant came out for him, I just don't think that the Raiders as an organization can afford to put him, you know, to have them on their big board. I just don't think it's good for optics. Sometimes you got to read the room, and I know that's not always fair. And maybe, you know, it's more than a month before the draft. Maybe they'll find out that he's good to go. He wasn't involved in a lot of stuff. You know, I mean, there's plenty of times to go through, do some background checks, some more, you know, learn as much about the young man as possible and say, hey, it was a young man that made a bad mistake, and he's going to be better for it moving forward. And maybe he will. But it just, again, sometimes you look around, you think, I don't know if that juice is worth the squeeze. As far as Darnell Washington goes, a big tight end out of Georgia, hell yes, hell yes, and hell yes. I would love to see the Raiders get him. That's who I have my eye on. As a matter of fact, you ask who's my eye on? Darnell Washington. He's a Las Vegas native as well. I would love to see him be able to stay home and be with the Raiders, especially now that Darren Waller is gone. I thought combining him with Darren Waller would be great, but now Darren Waller is gone. So, yeah, Darnell Washington, come on down. Not only is he a hell of a tight end, not only is he an athletic dude, but he's a big guy where he can block. He's a really good blocker, and that means something, and that needs to mean something, just like Lincoln Kennedy told us on the Raider Roundtable just the other day. So, yeah, I think he's going to go in the first round. I don't think the Raiders are going to have a chance to get him, but if they do, man, oh, man, I would love to see him in the silver and black. And as far as Stetson Bennett, another guy out of Georgia, it's funny, we're talking about nothing but Georgia guys here. I could see, especially if it's like a seventh-round pick or a sixth-round pick, which I do think he's going to be a very late-round pick, I could see the Raiders taking a shot at him. Right? I mean, most likely they probably won't get a quarterback at seven. Most likely they'll probably get the best defensive player on the board, which will be okay. And maybe they don't get a Hendon Hooker. Maybe he goes late first round. The Raiders don't have an opportunity. Maybe they don't want a Jake Haener out of Fresno State. Maybe they don't want, you know, other guy, insert this quarterback, a Clayton Tune out of Houston. Right? Maybe they say, well, what the hell? Stetson Bennett, even though people don't think he's very big, he's actually a little bit bigger than Bryce Young. He is a winner, as you mentioned. Back-to-back national champion, slung it around the yard at the combine. Maybe they do take a shot on him. I don't think it would be bad, especially if it's a super late-round pick. I don't think that that's as any problem. Now, if you took him in the first round, that'd be a problem. But if you get him like fifth round or later, why not? Why not take a shot at him and see how it all shakes out? So, Day-Day, thank you so much for that text. I do appreciate you. And I don't know, man, you didn't tell me straight up, but I definitely believe you're a Georgia fan. We're talking Jalen Carter, Darnell Washington, and Stetson Bennett, all three Georgia Bulldogs. But that's all I got time for on today's show. That's all we got time for of this week. And hopefully sometime today we'll be talking to Jimmy Garoppolo, and I'll be able to talk about what we learned from that, maybe hear from him as well, maybe get an explanation of what happened and what was the holdup. But only time will tell. I'm sure by Monday, the next time we talk here on the Lockdown Raiders podcast, I'm sure there'll be some resolution one way or the other. So again, Raider Nation, as always, thanks so much for making the show your first listen each and every day. Subscribe or follow for free on YouTube or wherever you listen to your podcast. Make sure you get the latest episode of the Locked On Raiders podcast. And of course, if you're on YouTube and listening and watching on YouTube, it's because of my man Ari on Twitter at Ari Produces. So until Monday, Raider Nation, take care of yourself. Have a fantastic weekend. Be safe out there on St. Patty's Day. Don't get in too much trouble, but enjoy yourself. You know, but take care of yourself. Take care of your family. Love on your family. Most importantly, as always, just win, baby.